This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Ed Barnes with Cotton Incorporated, will talk ag research in just a few moments. First off, Tim Klein is CEO of National Beef, testifying recently before a Senate Ag Committee on what can be done.
I believe we have to look at the situation today in the context of the history. And if you go back before 2016, the packing segment was the smallest profit margin of any segment of the industry, mainly because of overcapacity in the industry. In 2016 forward, capacity had already been taken out. We saw a dramatic increase in the supply of cattle. As a result of that, margin structure shifted to our segment. But historically, it resided, the cow-calf producers had the biggest share of the profit pie, so to speak, prior to 2016.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dr. Ed Barnes. Ed is the Senior Director for Ag and Environmental Research with Cotton Incorporated. Hey, Ed, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony. It's always great to be here.
Hey, a little background for those who don't understand Cotton Incorporated and the role it plays within the cotton industry. And when I say that, that's a big question anyway, because there's a lot of things underneath that umbrella for Cotton Incorporated. But let's focus really on ag and environmental research. What happens under that umbrella for the cotton industry?
Right. So, you know, Cotton Incorporated is the checkoff program for cotton. So the research and promotion, we don't do anything but research and promotion. The National Cotton Council handles all the policy stuff. And like you said, in the ag environmental research, we focus on trying to solve problems for growers. And so whether that's, there's six of us. Well, actually, we just got two new hires, so I got to get my count right. I think seven of us now in the division. We have a new plant pathologist, Caitlin Bissonette. We have a new person leading our cottonseed efforts, Evie Jaconis. We have an agronomist, Dr. Galen Morgan. Someone overseeing our breeding and genetics, Dr. John Jones, entomologist, Brian Kurtz, and our leader, Dr. Cater Hake. And I don't want to leave out Tom Wiedergartner, who has spent his career promoting cottonseed, and he'll be retiring at the end of this month. So anyway, I'm the agricultural engineer in the group. So with all those discipline expertise, we work with universities and ARS across the Cotton Belt to fund and direct research that we're going to help solve the current problems of our producers.
Well, that means one thing. You're learning how to make it rain, because at this point, quite a few acres across the southern high plains are in desperate need of rainfall. And some of these acres are in the ground, but the majority of them have yet to be planted. Is that a concern as we move into this 2022 growing season?
Well, that is a big concern, and I wish I had better news from the forecasters. One thing I think at this point in the year is a great time to pay attention. Ryan Kurtz, who also leads our kind of outreach program, and we have a website called Cotton Cultivated. It's cotton cultivated as one word .cottoninc.com, or just Google or search cotton cultivated, and it'll bring you there. You scroll down the page a little bit and you'll see a weather outlook that's updated every week. And it's Eric Snodgrass of Agrible, who gives some really insightful comments on, you know, what to expect in the coming week and the longer term. And one thing he'll talk about, you know, is called ENSO, which is, probably many people hear about El Nino or La Nina. And right now we're in a La Nina, which is never great for cotton. We've looked at historic yields over the last 40 years. In the La Nina year, the whole cotton belt tends to be lower because of decreased precipitation. So the latest forecast is that the negative is the latest forecast says La Nina is probably going to persist through the summer, which is not good. The positive is there's a lot of uncertainty in that forecast, so hopefully they're wrong. But right now, you know, the outlook's pretty tough. The Southwest is, you know, I don't need to tell a lot of your listeners, definitely bone dry. And so if people have water with the dollar something cotton, we want to make the best use of it.
Let's dig in on the irrigation side. And again, there's so many different areas that we can start there, but maybe one is getting the most out of that irrigation water that's available to us. We don't have to just pour the water to it. We can actually schedule our irrigation. Is that a good way to start this next part of our conversation?
It is. And I think, you know, it's a real important one. Especially with, you know, a lot of people with limited well capacities. And again, it's so dry. Meeting those water needs is going to be tough. And so one of the things, you know, in West Texas there, Jim Burdowski was a longtime ag engineer, did some really, you know, groundbreaking work on understanding how to manage water in cotton. You know, and he showed pretty conclusively that a lot of pre-watering is not a good use of that water. So, yeah, you got to have water to get the crop out of the ground, but trying to bank it, he's demonstrated over many years that that's just not a good way to go. You really want to save that water for when the crop's up, when you're starting to get squares and flowers on it. That's when you're going to get the biggest return on your investment. So that's one, you know, kind of easy thing. And then it gets, you know, more challenging as the crop gets up and you start thinking, okay, when do I put that next irrigation out? And so there are a lot of tools out there. And if you'll bear with me, I'll call out Cotton Cultivated again, just so people can find some of those tools. If you go to that website, you'll see pretty close to the top of the page, as you scroll a little bit down, there's a button called Production. And you click on Production, and then it'll bring up kind of the different protection steps during the year. And one of those is water management. And so you click on water management, and that's going to pull up a lot of the water management resources around the country. You can even go one step further. And if you want to filter it down to the region, you can filter it down. Say you're in the Southwest, you can filter it down. So you only get, you know, kind of information relative to the Southwest. So that's a tool that I would encourage people to take a look at.
And again, where do we find that online?
That's right. That's cottoncultivated.cottoninc.com, or just Google Cotton Cultivated, and it'll get you there. And once you get into that water management section, there, you know, for a lot of the Southwest, there's going to be, and hopefully many people are aware of this, but there's a Texas ET network, and there'll be a link to that site that will Texas A&M maintains, where you can find different weather stations in the Texas area that will kind of give a sense of how much ET is occurring or how much water is evaporating or potentially could evaporate. And then there's also a link, and I have kind of a fond memories of this, Oklahoma Mesonet, which give away my age a little bit, but I was working at Oklahoma State when they were finishing up that Mesonet, and that's a weather station in every county. And so that's a really great resource, and they have an irrigation planner that's available there. So there's a lot of specific scheduling resources. Another one we're working on that won't come up under the Southwest page because we're still kind of refining it for the Southwest, but we do have it linked in with Oklahoma Mesonet, and that's a smart irrigation app for your phone that again will be under that water management tab, and that can be, that's in both the Apple Store and the Android Play Store, so it gives you a way to get, you know, kind of predictions of what the water status in your exact field.
And I guess one of the other questions here is soil moisture sensors. How big of a tool are those, especially in very dry years?
Yeah, I think they're a real important tool. The scheduling apps are great, but they do have limitations. And so sometimes, you know, that app may not be predicting the right crop coefficient for your field because a lot of them use growing degree models. And another big uncertainty, you know, you get a 1-inch rainfall and it comes in 30 minutes. How much of that stayed on the field, right? Even if you have a rain gauge in the field, how much of it stayed there and didn't go into the ditch? So moisture sensors really answer those questions for you. And so I'm a big fan of them. I think, again, you get a sense of how did that, either rainfall or irrigation, how deep did it make it into the profile? Is it still a, you know, how long is it going to be available to the plant? And so I think it's a really important tool. I've seen, you know, examples of where that someone was applying an irrigation. This was more in the Mid-South, but they were furrow irrigating, and I had sensors in the field, and it, you know, it didn't. So I thought you irrigated, and they said they did, and the sensor hadn't moved, so we went out there with a shovel. You know, sometimes you can't trust the sensor either. But sure enough, the furrow was wet, but there was that water, the furrow had kind of crusted over. And so it was just a, you know, like a concrete ditch, and they were just running water across the field. It wasn't getting to the plant. And, you know, if you don't have a sensor there, you don't, may not know that's happening. And so I'm real high on those. One of the things, and what makes them, you know, really great now is it used to be you had to trudge out into the field to say if you had a tensiometer or some sensor out there and read it. And that really made it not practical for a lot of people. And, you know, now most of these, all of them have wireless options. So you can either set up a cell modem or different ways to transmit that data in real time. And if people are interested in that, this is something that Mississippi has done. And I don't think it doesn't matter if you don't live in Mississippi. They have they call it a soil moisture showcase. And what they do is they get all the different companies, maybe not all, but a lot of the companies that make these soil moisture sensors, and they set them up in the same field, and then they kind of give a guest password to all the different systems, and so you can actually test drive these sensors. And so if you're thinking about, well, do I want to invest in this? What, you know, which one should I buy? I'd encourage people to take a look at that. I've also put that and go back to cotton cultivated again. Get sick of me saying it, but I've got that set up so when you click on production and then water management right now, that will be one of the top hits you get. It'll be called the Soil Moisture Showcase.
Ed Barnes is Senior Director for Ag and Environmental Research with Cotton Incorporated on today's Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Dr. Ed Barnes with Cotton Incorporated.
You've been around the farming business for a while now, so you've got a pretty good idea of how hard most tractors work or don't work. And almost certainly you've heard of Fendt. From top to bottom, Fendt makes the most innovative, most cost-efficient tractors in the world. Like the Fendt 900, the ultimate row crop tractor. Isn't it time you discovered the difference between a good tractor and a great one? Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, learn more about what Cotton Incorporated's doing online. Just search for Cotton Cultivated.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
You know, it's interesting. Over the last 24 years, healthcare research has increased by over 400%. Research at the USDA, however, over the last 10 years has essentially been flatlined. I would suggest to you that it's important and necessary for us to pay attention to agricultural research. While healthcare research can cure diseases, USDA research can prevent disease, both in terms of people and in terms of animals. Our agricultural share of the total federal investment in non-defense R&D over the last 20 years or so has declined from 4.3% of the overall non-defense R&D to now 2.3%. So I encourage this committee to take a look at the important role that research can play and the necessity of having adequate resources. We are falling behind in ag research to our friends in China, and that is an area that I don't think we want to essentially be second place in.